Welcome to this podcast on religious charities. My name is John Calladine, and the purpose of this podcast is to give you an introduction to accounting and other issues relating to religious charities. Primarily, I'm dealing with the Christian Church and Protestant organisations, though much of what I say would relate to the Catholic Church and also Islamic charities. But because it is so specialised, if you require clarification on these, then you should seek further advice. Prior to the Charities Act 2006, religious charities were somewhat left to their own ways, albeit they were always subject to charity law and regulation. Very few were registered as charities, and many churches were regulated internally by their own head office organisation. This was particularly so in the Anglican Church, who had their own regulations and reports, and oversight by the church commissioners. Some church organisations would treat the individual churches belonging to their denomination as branches and would expect them to complete returns to file at head office. For example, the Baptist Union churches were independent and had their own constitutions and were responsible for their own affairs. Smaller independent denominations, free churches, may have had their own internal constitution, but possibly being subject to the Places of Worship Act, with a trust deed, which related only to the property. Registered places of worship were exempted from registration under the 1993 Act, but the extent of this exception was widely misunderstood. The exception from registration, for which the 1993 Act makes provision, does not extend to charitable funds held in connection with registered places of worship. It does not apply, therefore, to property held on distinct trusts, such as special trusts for the maintenance or repair of the place of worship, or for the payment of the minister's stipend. Prior to the Charities Act 2006, many churches and religious charities would have been regarded as accepted charities, in that although having to abide by the rules and regulations, there was no requirement to register with the Charity Commission. Very often with these smaller organisations, they would only have prepared a simple receipts and payments account each year, although following the Charities Act 1993, these accounts would have been subject to independent examination and possibly an audit, depending upon the size of its income and any specific regulations contained within its trust deed. From 2006, the ball game has changed, and there is now a requirement to register with the Charity Commission if their income is over £100,000 per annum. The plan is that other churches and accepted charities below that threshold would have to register during the next few years, with a timetable being determined by the Charity Commission. It is interesting to note that with the growth of what was known as the house church movement during the 1990s, many large independent churches have been formed and grown completely separate from the mainline denominations. They were outside the accepting regulations, nor governed by any deed under the Places of Worship Act. Because of the size of these organisations, they formed their own legal entities, usually a company limited by guarantee, and then registered with the Charity Commission. Those churches stroke charities which have previously been accepted from a requirement to register with the Charities Commission were Baptist Union, Church of England, the Church in Wales, Congregational Federation, Evangelical Fellowship of Congregational Churches, the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches, General Assembly of the Unitarian and Free Christian Churches, Grace Baptist Trust Corporation, Methodist Conference, Presbyterian Church in Wales, Religious Society of Friends, Strict and Particular Baptists, Union of Welsh Independents, United Reformed Church. There are five other known groups of churches that were included in the accepting regulations made under the Charities Act 1960, but not included in the accepting regulations later. These are the Church of the Nazarene, the Free Church of England, Independent Methodists, Wesleyan Reformed Union, the Churches of Christ. It has now been agreed by the Office of the Third Sector that registrations for these charities be included within the programme for the accepted churches / charities. However, the income threshold of £100,000 does not apply, and they have to register if their initial income is more than £5,000, although the Charity Commission will initially be concentrating on registering charities connected with those bodies where the income exceeds £25,000. As you can see, we have therefore today a complete mixture of legal entities for religious charities and churches, ranging from companies limited by guarantee to unincorporated trusts, with the need for many churches now to register if their income is over £100,000. Many have been adopting new standard trust deeds as recommended by the Charity Commission or by their mainline denomination, but they remain unincorporated. The problem, of course, with an unincorporated charity is its legal status. All bank accounts, borrowing, and legal matters would have to be done in the names of the trustees. When I say trustees, this could easily be the parochial church council, it could be a group of elders or deacons, church committee, or whatever term is used by those who have the fiscal and financial oversight of the church. Do not forget, anyone who has a say in fiscal and legal admin oversight could be regarded as a trustee. Most certainly the treasurer, perhaps office manager. In many ways, this does cause anxiety for such organisations because of the potential liabilities involved, hence recommendations to move to a limited liability organisation. The advantage being the limited liability protection, the legal entity being the church, not the trustees, easier to borrow money, the recruitment of leaders, etc. Someone who takes on the role of a trustee, whether called that or not, of an unincorporated trust, takes a risk in these days of litigation. We still await from the Charity Commission the new concept of charitable incorporated organisations, CIO for short, which would bring into being limited liability protection and a separate legal entity status, as distinct from having to use a company as registered at Companies House. It is anticipated by the Charity Commission that these CIOs will be available in the spring of 2011, but we still wait. The core legislation has been passed, but we need further detail. A further issue arising is the status of the ministers of the church, pastors or paid elders. Invariably, they are responsible for the day-to-day running of the church, especially in the smaller organisation with little or no delegation. They are paid employees of the church, and therefore the salaries paid to them would have to be disclosed within the financial statements of the organisation, for in reality they are trustees. In many trust deeds I prepare now, whether a memorandum and articles of association or plain unincorporated trust, we incorporate clauses for the ability to have paid trustees, as it recognises that pastors, ministers, etc. do form part of the governance of the church. However, it is important that such officers are in the minority and that there is always a majority of unpaid parochial church council members, trustees, elders, or whatever term is used. Dealing with the reporting requirements, these can be best summarised as follows. 1. Churches and charities with an income above £25,000 per annum have to register with the Charity Commission, but those accepted charities below the £100,000 income level will have a period of grace before registration becomes compulsory. 2. When the total income and resources of the church organisation are above £25,000 per annum, an independent examination of the accounts and accounting records is required. Where the total income is above £250,000 per annum, this should be done by a qualified accountant, a member of the various chartered organisations, or an AAT, or a fellow of the Association of Charity Independent Examiners. 3. Where the income of the organisation is above £500,000 per annum, a full statutory audit is required by a firm of statutory auditors. There is an exception to this, in that where the gross assets of the charity are in excess of £3.26 million and income above £250,000 per annum, an audit is also required. This is interesting, as gross assets is the figure as per the balance sheet. If a property is shown on the balance sheet, especially at valuation or insurance valuation, this can easily mean that a smaller church with valuable property can exceed the threshold level. I hope you have found this podcast of interest, and I hope to pursue these matters further in a future podcast. Thank you for listening.